May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text is the words of institution as we read them during the confession. You may be seated. Dear saints, it might seem as if the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, doesn't quite live up to our theme of miracles in Lent. We've considered some pretty dramatic things. The massive curtain in the temple being torn in two, thick darkness covering the world for 3 hours, earthquakes, stones splitting in two, and even dead bodies rising from the grave. We can understand how these things are miraculous, unnatural. Only God could do them. But this meal, this Lord's Supper, seems fairly ordinary. I suppose if someone came off the street and saw what we were doing on any given Sunday, they might think it's a little weird, but certainly not a miracle. In fact, some people would argue that we make it less special by celebrating it every Sunday. But if it's really something that God is doing, if it's really something that God has commanded us to do for our good, for our benefit, if it's something more than just a ceremony, shouldn't we be partaking as frequently as possible? Now, we know the scriptural basis for the Lord's Supper. You hear these words every Sunday, those words recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke and by St. Paul in 1 Corinthians. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." But Paul also talks about the Lord's Supper a couple of other times. One time in 1 Corinthians 10, he says these words, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ?" And in 1 Corinthians 11, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Clearly, Paul is treating this meal very seriously. It's not just a bunch of Christians getting together for a potluck. It's not just an empty ceremony. Coming to the Lord's Supper, Paul says, involves examining oneself. It involves discernment. It involves preparation. Lest one eats and drinks this meal in an unworthy manner, causing judgment to come upon oneself. We do not take it lightly or frivolously. It is an awe-filled, solemn, and holy meal. Now, of course, different understandings about the Lord's Supper have arisen over the centuries. During Luther's time, certainly the church held that communion was a miracle. However, they thought of it as a re-sacrifice of Jesus. They taught that in Holy Communion, the priest consecrates the bread and the wine. It becomes the body and blood of Jesus, but that the bread and wine are no longer present. In fact, one quote from that time says this: "They are changed into Christ, whole, entire, inclusive of his body, blood, soul, and his divinity. And it didn't matter whether anyone ate of the bread or drank of the wine. It was just the action of the priest." Now, the opposing view came out a few years later, Zwingli and Calvin and some of these so-called Reformed theologians, and they taught almost the exact opposite. This is the prevailing thought in Christianity today, at least in our country, that in the Lord's Supper there is nothing miraculous at all. You see, they had a different view of Jesus. They believe that he is truly man and truly God, but these two natures don't communicate. They don't work with each other. It's as if there's a barrier between the human half and the divine half of Jesus. Think of two boards just being glued together. And so when Christ ascended, his body went up into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and it just sort of stays there. On their communion table, therefore, there is only bread and wine. The meal is simply a reminder of the body and blood of Jesus, who was sacrificed on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins, yes, but Holy Communion is simply a time to remember, a time to meditate, a time to reflect. We believe it is more. As the apostles taught, as the early church practiced, we believe that Holy Communion is indeed a miracle. We believe that in the personal union of Jesus, he is fully God and fully man. And this is a mystery. We can't understand it. We believe that this one Christ, true man and true God, did indeed ascend into heaven, but this is not so much where Jesus is, but how he is. In Ephesians 4, we read this: Christ ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. We have to be very careful not to go beyond what Scripture says, not to make up additional doctrines that aren't in Scripture. On the other hand, we have to be very careful to say what Scripture does say. This is my body. This is my blood. We believe that in Holy Communion, Christ is truly present, or really present, whatever adverb you would like to use. And Luther tried to explain it this way when he said that in, with, and under the bread and the wine are the body and the blood of Jesus, given to us to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. And if in, with, and under is too complicated, just take Jesus at his words. This is my body. This is my blood. During the distribution, we try to reiterate that fact to you as we come around with the bread and the wine, saying something like this: take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as you're being dismissed, may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. That Christ is truly and really and bodily present with us on this altar, in the bread and in the wine, being placed in our hands and placed in our mouths for the forgiveness of our sins, that is a miracle. It is something we cannot comprehend. It is something that we cannot do. I'm not a magician up here waving my hands and saying hocus pocus. God is doing the work. It is something divine. Jesus said it, so we believe it. And what a joyous gift and miracle it is. Our Lord Jesus, who is present everywhere, and in whatever way he chooses to be here with you on this altar, in your hand, and on your lips, to forgive you, to bless you, to strengthen your faith in him. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen.